And open them with me to several verses. I want you to start with me, however, in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Once you find your place, let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. A couple of these verses will be the same as they were on Sunday night. I put an additional verse in there just by way of reference. Again, we're just going to use this kind of as a springboard to launch back into the same topic that we had Sunday night. I just really felt led of the Holy Spirit to be a little more explicative. I thought there was a good response to the service. I didn't feel like there was anything left to question, so to speak. But I thought the Lord just wanted me to give some practical things and say some things maybe to help us to just jar our thinking a little bit, all right? And so let's look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 first. The Bible says, and upon the first day of the week, which is what day? Sunday. It's always been Sunday. When the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. And by the way, he continued his speech until midnight. Just thought I'd say that I'm not going till midnight. I just thought I'd put that in there. So it says, on the first day of the week, Paul preached. They were gathered together. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, this is another verse that we read on Sunday night. The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so again, we have a reference to the first day of the week, and there's a gathering that he's obviously mentioning to. Their specific offering is going to be taken. Now go to Revelation chapter 1. And this will be the third and final one we'll rest on. And then there's plenty of verses to write down. I asked Ashley to put some lines in the outline. I believe that she did. So some additional thoughts that I'll have for you, if you feel like taking a little more extensive notes, that you can. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. Now, of course, we've studied this extensively, but I want to use this just this verse again to reiterate what I'm speaking on tonight, and it's really about making Sunday significant. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, John the Revelator speaking, I was in the Spirit on what? On the Lord's Day. Now, it doesn't say the first day of the week, but if there was ever a day, I think it's a given, that would be the day of the Lord or the Lord's Day, it would happen to be the day that he rose again from the grave, where he conquered death and hell. And I think that's a given. I think it's totally intimated there, and I think the context of the New Testament would give us that. But in light of what we talked about on Sunday night, as far as making the Sabbath holy, we talked about no other name. We talked about the name of God and the holiness of God, and we said that anything that is connected to God is supposed to be reverenced as his name. So his name is a revelation of his character, and in essence, then everything that he's touched, from his people to his church to his word, his name, all is supposed to be reverenced that way. The very next commandment is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And then it gives some follow-up verses, and we talked about that extensively. What I'd like to do tonight is just follow it up with some things that maybe used to be, and really they should be like that again. And what we're fighting against, and just how much we have been influenced by a world that really doesn't care a whole lot about God, doesn't care a whole lot about the Bible, doesn't care a whole lot about Christianity. So I want to preach this follow-up message called Making Sunday Significant here tonight, and we'll see what the Lord does. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the Word of God. And Lord, I'm so thankful for how you have always used Sunday in my life, even back when I was little and even back when I thought I was saved. I'm just so thankful, Lord, for Sunday. I'm so thankful for what it means. I'm so thankful for why you have said to set it aside. And so tonight I pray that as we open these passages and many, many others, I pray that you'd give liberty and wisdom. God, I pray that you'd help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain tonight, that I may have the privilege of being filled with your Holy Spirit. In fact, Lord, I yield myself to you as your mouthpiece, and I simply ask that you would use me and speak through me this message, that it would be a help to somebody here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified in it all. I pray that you'd set a watch at my lips and just hold back anything that I would say that would be a hindrance to your Spirit or an offense to these that are here. But rather, Lord, help me to glorify and honor the name of Christ. And Lord, this principle about remembering you has to do with this day. And Lord, you've instituted it for us. And so, Lord, I pray again that you bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I believe the Lord's directed me to follow up, as I said, based on some comments and questions that I had on Sunday night. One of the takeaways from Sunday night's message on keeping God's Sabbath holy was that the day of rest, we of course call Sunday, is intended to be kept different. It's intended to be significant from all the other days of the week. And as by way of introduction, I just want you to think about your Sunday. I want you to think about how you approach it as opposed to how you approach Monday through Friday. And then I think legitimately there's probably a different paradigm as to how you approach Saturday. And then how you approach Sunday, what it is that it means to you, what it is that you hope to get out of it. Because many of you that are in the workforce, I believe, especially those that are given to work, you don't mind working, it's something that you do, you enjoy it. I think many of you, when you go into your vocation, you have an idea and an expectation of the day. What I'm simply saying is, do you have one for the Lord's Day? What I'm simply saying is, you cannot approach the Lord's Day the same way that you approach every other day, because you cannot approach the Lord the way you approach anyone else. Now, if that's the case, then let's face it, Sunday isn't what it used to be, not even in our lives. In 1850, persons were not allowed to ride on the Boston and Maine railroads on Sunday unless they satisfied the railroad officials that they were making a trip to attend church activities. They just weren't allowed. You had to convince the guys that you were actually going to church on a Sunday to services, or they wouldn't allow you to ride. In fact, when the New York Elevated Line began operating, many citizens boycotted it because trains were run on Sundays. George Washington in the Revolutionary War, Lincoln in the Civil War, President Wilson in the First World War, all gave orders relieving troops as far as relieving troops as far as possible from fatigue duty on Sunday and giving them opportunity to attend public worship during wartime. Okay, Presidents Hayes and Garfield habitually walked to church so that their workers and servants might rest and worship on the Lord's Day. President Grant, when in Paris, refused to attend even the horse races on the Lord's Day. President McKinley, when at the opening of the state centennial of Tennessee, refused a trip up Lookout Mountain, saying, and I quote, "No, I do not go sightseeing on Sunday." Theodore Roosevelt and Calvin Coolidge spoke in appreciation of the Lord's Day. Calvin Coolidge said, and I quote, "I profoundly believe in the Lord's Day." President Truman went fishing on the Columbia River on vacation, refused to even put a line in the water on Sundays. I'm just simply saying there's a different paradigm. There's a different viewpoint of Sundays. Gone are the days when businesses closed on Sunday, but why did they ever? I mean, think about it for a minute. Why did they ever close? I'll tell you why, because everybody was in church. They just knew that's where they were supposed to be. So for a business owner to open up the business and trust that someone's going to come in and make some exchange was just an impossibility because nobody did anything on Sundays. It's a different day today. Slowly but surely, people began to neglect the Lord's Day in favor of, listen, anything. It didn't have to be something specific. It was anything. They began to neglect the Lord's Day in favor of anything else. And now we live in a time when people look at you funny for going out into public in Sunday church clothes. They just think like, what planet did you step on off of? Every time we go out to lunch on a Sunday, and we go just like we come to church, and we go and sit in some place, people are fascinated at all of the people that look like they've been to church, like we're Martians or something. They don't, you know, because it's not Monday through Friday, and we're dressed like this, and I'm not a stockbroker, though somebody at Home Depot thought I was some kind of stockbroker. I hadn't got to talk to them yet that I was a pastor, and they were going to ask me about investments, Dave. I'm so glad that they didn't. Or maybe I should have said, let me talk about a different investment. That had probably been a better way. The reality of keeping the Lord's Day significant and sacred is one that God blesses. Would you agree with that? Wow. You guys are deader than a hammer tonight. I'll say that again. The reality of the Lord's Day being significant and sacred is one that God blesses. Would you agree? Good. I'm glad you're awake. Now, part of the reason for Israel's judgment, remember, in exile was due to their taking the Lord's Sabbath, listen, and using them for something else. I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 20. When the Lord gives a command, does he expect us to keep it? Yeah, of course he does. So he doesn't say anything by accident, would you agree? It's not that he doesn't have anything better to do. I think I'll just ruin their lives. So I'll put these Ten Commandments and I'll put all of this stuff down and they'll probably just, they probably will hate me, but I'm going to make their lives miserable anyway. No. He knows better. And so when he gave the Sabbath, you need to understand there's a lot that goes into it, but there was a seven-year Sabbath even of the land, which is still, in some parts of the country, still observed. 6 years, you worked a piece of land, and then the seventh year, you didn't work it. God knew that you should rest it because it's been worked. And the people who, now they just keep pouring chemicals in it, and they don't rest it anymore. And God says, okay, because you've profaned my Sabbaths, because you've decided to take everything that I've declared right for you and thrown it out, you're going into captivity. Notice what it says in Ezekiel 20, verse 21. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. Now, we don't like to think of not making the Sabbath significant as rebellion, but I want you to see that God does. The Bible says, notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my what? They polluted my Sabbath. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. And so what I would like to suggest to you tonight is several ways as to how to make Sunday significant. Now, let me just get a survey here and see where you're at. How many, when you were growing up, Sunday was significantly different for the right reasons? Let me just see your hands, okay? So maybe 40% of you, all right? And so that tells us a lot because I will tell you that if I wasn't raised in a house where Sunday was different, where Sunday was a day that all you did was serve the Lord and you didn't do anything else, you didn't try to bring any of the normality, what you would say, from Monday through Saturday into Sunday, it made Sunday different. I think because of that, Sunday to me has a different feel altogether. From the morning when you get up until the day you go, night when you go to sleep, long even before I was in the ministry, Sunday just felt different. Saturday felt different, Sunday felt different, and Monday through Friday was altogether different. And so if we're going to have the Lord's Day, if we're going to keep it significant, if we're going to keep it sacred, let me give you several suggestions as to how to do that, all right? Number one, I think it's pretty obvious, a great way to keep Sunday significant is to use it to renew your spirit. We all know that it's in the book for a spiritual emphasis. So when you listen very carefully, when you neglect, when you reject, when you're preoccupied with something else and you overimpose over that sacred purpose, you're losing out. Do you understand that? God said, I want you to set aside a day so that you can remember me. And whenever we don't give ourselves to that, what we're doing is saying, Lord, I can forget you this week. I don't have to catch that breath on Sunday this week. I'll make it up another week. And what happens? You get farther and farther behind, both spiritually and physically. I believe Sunday is one of, if not the only day, people head into without a significant plan or purpose. In other words, we get up and we just kind of, let's just be honest, nobody here but us tonight, though all of you are seemingly asleep, it's just pretty much, we all just kind of let it happen, don't we? Don't we? Yeah, that's what you're like, I'm not saying it. Yes, you do. I know you do. We all do. We just let it happen. I'm not talking about not laying stuff out. I'm just simply saying we don't go into it with the same mindset that we're trying to get something out of it. We kind of just, oh, I'm going to church and it's his turn to entertain us and it's the choir's turn and all that kind of thing. That's just the reality. If you plan on meeting God, however, if you plan on growing in grace, if you plan on going on spiritually, then purpose and plan for spiritual renewal. That's what the day's for. Redeem the time to be in church services. Amen. I'll just say that myself. Redeem the time. God set aside one day in seven. That's all, just one. One day in seven, 4 to 5 times a month in that Sunday that says, listen, I want you to set aside a day for one reason, so that you don't forget me. And by the way, you and I both know that if you continually forget God on Sunday, you'll forget him all the rest of the month. Whoa, now there's a little bit more woke up. All right, good. So, redeem the time to be in church services. If you're a Christian, by the way, that's what Sundays are for. That's what it's for. I mean, why wouldn't you be in church? It's what I always would say. Christians are supposed to be with Christians, listening to the Word of God, so that we can do the will of God. Why would I be anywhere else? Does that make sense? It just makes sense, according to the Bible, to redeem the time and set it aside. Respect the day. Reserve it for the Lord only. Rehearse the goodness of God. Recall spiritual blessings. Refine your fellowship to a spiritual purpose. Let the day renew your spirit in every possible way. Don't just take it as this portion of the day where you're in this microcosm for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and then you leave, and you're trying to be as fleshly as you possibly can just to get away from what you just went through at church, because that's counterproductivity, spiritually speaking. So when you're thinking about what Sunday is for and why it should be significant, ask the Lord, Lord, would you renew my spirit today? Would you renew my spirit? Look at your notes, Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. If you went into Sunday with that mindset, you would leave with a renewed spirit. You would. If you came into church expecting to be renewed, you'd leave renewed every single time. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So I think it makes sense. It's nothing profound to take the day if you're going to make it significant and renew your spirit. Secondly, refresh your body. Refresh your body. Someone said to me on Sunday night, they said, in between services, like, what should we do? And I said, sleep. You know, we're always talking about how tired we are. I hear this. I'm running here. I'm running there. I got this schedule. I got that schedule. I got this to do and that to do and this place to be and that place to be. And then Sunday's no different. Except we're not in church. So instead of taking the day to rest and renew spiritually, not only have we not renewed spiritually, now we've neglected our body physically. Because remember, that's what it's for, according to the Bible. As we spoke on Sunday, God intended one day in seven for physical rest. So rest, take a nap, relax, refrain from strenuous physical activity. Some of you, Sunday, sometimes I don't get it. People leave church at whatever, 12 o'clock, and between 12 and 6 o'clock, they feel like they have to cram in like 5 days of work in just that 5 hours and do everything in their everything to cover their roles in every section of their life in that 5 hours, and they don't all get it done, and then they get upset because I write them a note and say, hey, we missed you on Sunday night. I don't get that. You know what their biggest problem is? They need to stop, and they need to sleep. Say, how long do you need to sleep? I don't know. How tired are you? Would 30 minutes do it? Would an hour do it? Would a two-hour power nap do it? Yeah, that'd be awesome. Let me counsel you. Then take one. So I don't have kids. Give them Benadryl. Send them to their bedroom, whatever it takes. No, I'm just joking. I'm going to edit that off the CD. Look, kids should take a nap. They should. But say, well, they don't. You make them. Whatever you got to do. Pillows, socks, pad the walls. I don't care what you got to do. They need to leave you alone for a little while. You need to rest. Or I'm not going to go into that. I'll maybe get into it Sunday a little bit. Now watch. Don't spend a lot of physical and mental effort that pulls your thoughts away from the spiritual renewal of the morning. In other words, you come into church, God speaks to your heart. And by the way, I thought it was a great service on Sunday, and I thought it was a great service Sunday night. He does that, and then you leave, and you don't any longer think or meditate or allow God to work on what he just did in your heart. And you might as well, for all intents and purposes, put it in a spiritual toilet and flush it away. Because you just are going through the motions. I want to remind you, the Lord's Day is supposed to be significant. It's supposed to be different. You're not supposed to approach it the same way. So God says, look, I did this for you. You need to renew yourself physically. People are always talking about how tired they are, so they need to sleep. Redeem the time you have for rest. Rest, listen carefully, listen. Rest is the exception, not the norm. So when you get a day, one in seven, to do that, do it. And don't get upset and blame anybody else for you not doing it. Well, I have so much else to do, and I then steward the rest of your days better, and that will help you. You see what I mean? What happens is we don't steward the 6 days prior, so when God's day comes, he gets shorted. Do you understand? Let me go back to the taking God's things and using them for other purposes. They stole their Sabbaths, God's Sabbaths, used them for other things, they got cast into Babylon. In Malachi, the Bible says, you've stolen my tithes and offerings. You've robbed God. You see? That's why in the New Testament, it's required of a steward that a man be found, help me, faithful. If we're going to be faithful to steward the Lord's day, we've got to be faithful to steward every day according to the grace of God. Is everybody listening tonight? Is it kind of making sense a little bit? Okay. For three of you, I appreciate that. Mark chapter 6, watch. This is biblical. And he said unto them, I think this is in your notes, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For they were many coming and going. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Is this privately? My glasses on. Privately. So what does that tell you? That tells you that even Jesus, when he went to the Samaritan well, was wearied. So if the Son of God needed rest, and he recognized that the disciples needed rest, why don't we take the hint and just rest? Now, some of you, I know how you're wired. If you sit long enough, you get guilty. So many things I need to do. Well, why don't you steward the other days of your life so that you could do some of those things, and then you could have some time to rest. And by the way, I'm under the impression, based on the women that I've lived with all of my life, that sometimes on Sundays for a mom is very difficult to rest. Okay? And I know that that could be just a season in your life, and Lord willing, if he tarries and nothing happens, you'll get to a better season. But I'm just simply saying we have to take the time that God gives us, and we have to steward it very carefully. And so when you're stewarding your body physically and you're stewarding the days, think about what Sunday is for. God said, I want you to worship me. I want you to come to me. I know you're weary. I know you're heavy laden. But if you come to me and my words abide in you, not only are you going to ask what you will, it shall be done for you, but I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you rest. In fact, he goes far deeper and says, for your soul. And so I want us to think about, what that means, all right? Rest from the norm of the week. Rest from the strenuous physical activity. Number three, another way to keep your Sunday significant. It's not just the spiritual aspect. I think that's the preeminent. Not just the physical aspect, but it's also the family aspect. Retain your family. Now, let me make the statement. The greatest day that can be noted as a family day, I don't care what you think, I really don't. I don't care what you think, is Sunday. That's the best family day they could ever have. Do you know why? Because Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You do what you want. You go and worship your gods. Remember all the gods that we said we put up before God, and we don't see them as idols, but they're idols because we spend more money, we pay more attention, we give more time, and we're serving them and not serving God. So God says, Joshua says, look, if you want to go and serve the gods of the day, that's your business. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's a decision that every husband and every wife has to make. You have to decide, what is Sunday for? Well, Sundays in my house are retained for my family. I set them aside for family worship. We come and we worship together. We're going to pray together. We're going to eat together. We're going to sing together. We're going to be together for family meals. And inside of that, in light of that, we're going to make family memories. Some of the greatest Sundays I remember were when my brother and sister were home. And mom would make whatever she would make. Now, when I finally got over myself and could eat grilled cheese sandwiches, which was a big deal for me because I had a gag thing. I just remember mounds of grilled cheese sandwiches and everybody talking about the day and eating. I remember when shrimp would be on sale, the little popcorn shrimp that you just put in the oven. And she'd make just mounds of them and fried potatoes. I still remember that. And we would talk about the day and we'd talk about Sunday school lessons and all that. What is that? That's a memory. Let me ask you a question. Do you have them? Do you have any present day of those? Or is it so spent doing everything else and everybody going every which way but loose that you have no idea where everybody is? It's just another Sunday. Don't split the family up on the Lord's Day. Stay in close proximity. Even if you don't spend all, I'm not saying you have to spend all day together. I'm just simply saying, if everybody's always whining to the pastor, we don't have family, we don't have family, could you take 2 hours on Sunday? Could you have an hour and a half on Sunday morning, maybe an hour and a half on Sunday night, and maybe take 2 hours in the afternoon, and you still have leftover time? You see what I'm saying? Everybody's always whining about the ministry and always caring, telling me, I don't have this time, and I don't have that time. You have all the time in the world, you're just not a very good steward of it. Now, I'm just being real tonight. The fact of the matter is we have lost the sanctity of Sunday. We have decided that we want to do everything else under the sun except worship God and keep His commandments. We have decided that we are going to let the Lord's Day go by the wayside. So, redeem the time with your family with one thing in mind, that it's the Lord's Day. Did it ever occur to you that you should ask them about their Sunday? I ask every week. I say, Braden, did you see Blake today? Yeah. Good. Did you see Aaron today? Mm-hmm. Did you, my wife now, did you, because he's getting a story, what did you tell about the story? This last week was the story about Jesus' feet being washed with the lady's hair, the oil, and then drying with her hair. To hear him say that, it doesn't come out like that, by the way, in case you were wondering. You have to speak 2-year-old in order to get that out, but it comes out. Does he know everything he's talking about? No, not right now, but we're trying to establish a pattern so that when he comes home, I can ask him, hey, what was your Sunday school lesson about? Why? Because Sunday's supposed to be a different day. Monday through Friday, I say, hey, tell me something you learned today at school. Tell me something fun you did on the playground. Tell me something you learned in Miss Borowski's class or whatever. That's a different day. Sunday's supposed to be approached in a different way. So, renew your spirit. Let the Lord use Sunday in a special way spiritually. Refresh your body. Retain your family. Keep them around you. Make it a special day on purpose. By the way, dads, that requires that you lead the family. I wish I could make a good cricket sound. That's what it requires. That somebody, namely the male species in the home, mans up and says, this is Sunday. Everybody else may do this on Sunday, but we don't. You're not going to your friend's house on Sunday. This is the Lord's Day. Are we here? It's the Lord's Day. It's going to be different. I'm not approaching it like any other day. I'm not saying approach it like Hitler. I'm just trying to get your attention to the fact that this is Sunday. If it's going to be significant, I think we got to try. Renew your spirit, refresh your body, retain your family. Number 4, reset your schedule. Reset your schedule. It's the first day of the week. Before the day closes, take some time to thank the Lord for the beginning of a new week. In the house of the Lord. Lord, I'm so grateful I got to go to church today. You know, you'd be better off if you just prayed something similar like that. Lord, thank you for letting me go to church today. Thank you for letting me see so-and-so. Thank you, Lord. And then, lo and behold, you're going to start praying thank you, and the Lord's going to say, hey, pray for that so-and-so. Pray for Debbie. Pray for Alice. Pray for Josh. Pray for Siri. Pray for Frank. Whoever. God's going to put something on your heart because you're thanking Him for the day that you've taken and set it aside, and it's going to be a different day because of that. Use it to reset your schedule. Thank Him for the day that you got to spend with your family and consider implementing what you've heard from the messages into your life. Lord, what the pastor said today, you spoke to me about this area in my life. Now, Lord, as I get ready to go into the week, what is that? That's resetting your schedule. You see, if you don't live on purpose, you'll live without a purpose. You're just going to go through thinking that you can handle your life. And I will tell you, by the Lord Jesus' own words, you can't. Without me, you can do nothing. And yet we try to do the impossible every single day. Acknowledging God on the Lord's Day and before Monday will go a long way in acknowledging Him in all of our ways. And the results, according to the Bible, should we do that, is that our paths will be directed by God. The rest of the week. I wonder how many more weeks would be better weeks if they were begun in the house of the Lord. I wonder how many more. I wonder how many days would be better days if we would take that one day. God says, look, I just want you to let this day be exclusively different. Set it aside for me, not you. For me. And I want it. You give it to me just like you give me your tithe, just like you give me your children, and I will give you back 100-fold. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 27, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Let's talk about number five. On Sunday, if you're going to make it significant, reclaim your vision. Where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. At the end of the week of working in the world, carefully listen to me. Your spirituality is normally drained. Would you agree with that? Those of you that work in the carnal workplace, when you're there Monday through Friday, you get out and you're like, oh, I am smoked. Do you know why I believe you're probably tired than the average Joe? It's because you're a Christian. With my whole heart, listen to what I'm saying. For the Christian who's trying to serve the Lord in all areas of life, dealing in the realm where Satan has power is physically exhausting due to spiritual drain. That's why. Your spirit is also taxed. And it's more taxed when you haven't taken the Sunday to start the week. So you go through Monday and you survive. You get home and you go, whew, tomorrow's Tuesday. That's normally about how we handle Mondays. Tuesday comes. Wednesday comes. You come to church and you sit in church like this. Amen. Whew, glad that's over. Thursday, Friday comes. You are so smoked. And I honestly believe it's because you haven't taken time with the Lord all week long. If you started the week outright and strong and hard, maybe you could take it another day and another day. Look. If you don't believe me, why don't you try it? Why don't you try it? I mean, what harm could be? What harm? What harm would come if you came to renew your spirit, you refreshed your body, and then you retained your family, and you used the specifics of Sunday to reclaim a spiritual vision to say, Lord, what I learned, I want to implement. Now, Lord, today's Monday. Now, Lord, today's Tuesday. I come back on Wednesday, I have the same reclamation, and then I go through Thursday and Friday. Why don't you just try reading your Bible, praying, going to church simply for 30 days and see what happens in your life? Why don't you try it? I mean, what harm could be done? Well, you don't understand. I have all these obligations. Let them go and see what happens just for 30 days. See what it does to your spirit. Did you know that you cannot be spiritual, even though the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, if you don't let that Holy Spirit affect your spirit? And when he does, then and only then can you be spiritual. So I ask, Dad, do your kids see a spiritual dad? Pretty hard, huh? Mom? The fact of the matter is, because we don't take that day and make it significant, God cannot be the significant other the rest of the days. That's preeminence, my friend. That's giving God what is rightly his and saying, Lord, I'm taking that outlook and I'm using it throughout my life. I will tell you, if we're not willing to do that, we cannot go on. Can't. There's no growing there. Well, let's just consider if we don't, then you're going to stay the same way that you have always been. What good is in that? According to the Bible, as I read today in my devotions, it means when he comes, I'm going to be ashamed. So what I've got to do is say, Lord, there's something about this. And I know the pastor's always talking about, you know, three to thrive, and you got to be in church. And he's always, I always try to avoid him when I'm missing church because I don't want him to ask me where I was. And I don't like missing, but at the same time, I've got other things to do. Why don't you let God be the one thing that you do and not avoid the Holy Spirit and allow him to use what he's put in your life to help you spiritually? That's a novel idea. In fact, the Bible says in Ezekiel back there in chapter 20. So look, I've done this so that I can bless you, but because you've stolen it, now I'm going to pour out my fury upon you. Man, it just seems pretty simple, doesn't it? I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey, a curse if you disobey. So in taking the Lord's day to renew a right spirit within, reclaim what was lost in the previous 7 days. A vision to seek the Lord with all your heart. Remembering the Lord's day will help you remember the Lord and his heart every day of your life. Notice in your notes, Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. Wholehearted seeking Christianity doesn't happen just on Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. But it never happens if it doesn't begin on Sunday. Number 6. Renew your spirit, refresh your body, retain your family, reset your schedule, reclaim your vision for the Lord. Number six, resist your flesh. Resist it. This is a powerful verse that we talked about on Sunday night. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. It seems like the Bible says the earth is the Lord's, right? He makes claim. This is my earth and all that dwell therein. Everything is mine. Everything's mine. The tithe is mine. Well, here he says this day is mine, my holy day. From doing thy pleasure and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him. Not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it over and over again. The Bible declares, God says, look, if you'll obey me, I've got a blessing right behind it, but I just need you to obey me. You've got to draw nigh first, so that I can draw nigh back. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Did you know that there are far too many Christians that are frustrated because of the things that are going on in their life or the things that they're not getting because they are not obeying God? Priorities are wrong. Their pursuit is wrong. Their purposes are wrong. And when the Lord inverts their life, they look around and they say, pray for me. Pray for me. We've got all these things going on. Ask God to give me wisdom. What I'm going to secretly pray for is, God, if there's sin in their life, please help them get it right. Because it could be chastisement. Are we all still here? I wish I could do a cricket sound. Okay, I'm done. Reject any notion that puts you in a position to compromise what is necessary for your spiritual well-being, as well as your physical well-being. Remember, it's easy to do. It's easy to do your own thing. It's easy to find your own pleasures. It's easy to talk about what you want to talk about, and God says, look, I'm just asking for one day. If you'll give me this one day, I'll make it worth your while. You'll be back tomorrow. Then you'll be back another day. I ask you again, what harm could come from it? What harm could come from it? What harm could come from God's people taking Sunday and make it something very holy and special? Have you done that? Number seven, I'm done. Redeem a memory. I want you to write this quote down. God gave me this afternoon. Something worth doing creates a memory worth keeping. Something worth doing creates a memory worth keeping. Make Sunday something that will always be remembered, not for being something that you did or some place that you went, but that your kids in their mind would say, you know, we did everything we wanted to do and we had an awesome time, but Sunday was the Lord's day. That's the day that belonged to the Lord. It wasn't mine to take. It was never mine to have. It was never mine to manipulate. This is the Lord's day, because it's holy. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye his servants of the Lord. Listen, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. It was Arthur Gladstone that said, and I quote, tell me what the young men of England are doing on Sunday, and I will tell you what the future of England will be. That's a pretty powerful statement. Voltaire, do you remember Voltaire? How many know who Voltaire is? Voltaire is the one that said before he died that he was going to make sure that every copy of the Word of God was gone. He was the one that was the atheist, was going to stamp it all out. Voltaire said, I can never hope to destroy Christianity until I first destroy the Christian Sabbath. That's where it starts. Did it ever occur to the spiritual side of your mind why there are so many things scheduled and planned on Sunday? Did it ever occur to you? Did it ever occur to you why it's so easy to say, oh, this is how it happens? Marianne, listen to me. This is how it happens, okay? This is how easy it is. Oh, I'll just miss it this one Sunday. Right? It's just one Sunday. You know what's so sad? It never stops with one Sunday, Scott. Never. Never has, never will. You know why? Because it's so easy. Did you get that? Okay. Because if you miss. The fact of the matter is, it is appalling to God to take what is His and defile it. Why? Because of His character. Someone said our great-grandfathers called it the Holy Sabbath. Our grandfathers just called it the Sabbath. Our fathers, Sunday. But today we call it the weekend. That's what it's been relegated to. If Sunday is as big a deal to you as it is to the Lord, then why don't you make it a big deal since He made you a big deal and He died for you? He's the one that set aside the day. Why don't you take it for what it is and use it for what God intended? I wonder if you're willing to take the 30-day challenge. You see all these commercials? You can lose all this weight in 30 days or in 10 days. You take these miracle drugs and in 14 days you lose all this weight. Why don't you just try it for a month and see what God would do to your spirit by honoring the day the way God intended it to be. Heavenly Father, I love You and I thank You for the Word of God.